Are you interested in the current state of the health industry? Want to know more about nutrition, natural medicine, holistic healthcare, and more? You're in the right place. Welcome to Nutrition Prescription with your host, integrative health and nutrition coach, Angela Atkins. She dishes the dirt on a bunch of health topics with a social consciousness flair. Here's Angela.
Welcome back to Nutrition Prescription. This is Angela Atkins, and I'm here today with a very special guest, something different than I've done before. One of my favorite instructors is with me, Mary Ann Kometic. Let me tell you a little bit about Mary Ann. She is the founder of Vibrant Training Group, a dedicated team of training professionals that helps individuals achieve their best and equip leaders to bring out the best in those they lead. Mary Ann delivers practical training for immediate application in the work environment to help individuals and teams. Now you may be asking yourself, why have a trainer on a health show? And here's the reason why. It's because I believe health is multifaceted. We have to work. And because we work, we have all these things that we have to relate to. And part of my philosophy is you need to bring your physical, emotional, relational, and spiritual being into alignment in order to have good health. And so, Mary Ann, I welcome you to bring in this whole relationship with work and how it affects our health to our podcast today.
Great. Thanks very much, Angela. I appreciate it.
So tell me a little bit about your topic, how we're going to talk about overcoming workday overwhelm, and if you could bring in how it relates to our health.
Great. So this idea that you talked about in terms of being holistic about our health, you know, we spend a lot of time at work. Some people say I spend more time at work, unfortunately, than I do with my family. And that's kind of the reality. And the other thing is work in this day and age never goes away. It's 24/7. If you wake up at 2 a.m., you're thinking about work, you just grab your device and you're on it. So increasingly people are telling me during different training, you know, I cannot keep up with everything. I'm drowning in emails. There's no end. I can't deal with things. And there's actually a book was published a few years ago on the topic of the health connection by a Harvard physician, Edward Hallowell. And the title of the book is called Crazy Busy. And what it talks about is the onset of adult ADD, attention deficit disorder. You know, people who grew up never had it as a kid, never had it in college, and now at work. And I mentioned that a couple of years ago at a training class on this topic, and a middle-aged guy raised his hand. And by the way, he did not look well, Angela. He was very pale. I would call him drawn. He raised his hand and self-identified. He said, Mary Ann, I'm one of the people you're talking about. I have just been diagnosed with ADD. I'm incredibly stressed out at work, in my job. My colleague just left. I'm now doing the work of two people. I'm just incredibly stressed out, and I just had a number of health issues. I saw my doctor, and he said, you either have to get a new job, quit this one, or figure out how to say no. And he said, I'm in this class to try to figure out how can I prioritize my work? How can I get a handle on the ton of emails I get every day? And probably for him and other people, how do I learn to say no respectfully? And he said, I'm one of these people. I always say yes. And I that's why I'm working 12 and 14 hour days. And he said, I've just reached, I think, the breaking point. So while he was, you know, under a physician's care for stress, he actually had medication for ADD. I thought, wow, how have we gotten to this point? And so I think, you know, through the combination of the things you're talking about, through our diet, exercise, nutrition, being mindful, meditation, getting in touch, all those, it's all part of one system, and that's our system, our human system. This is just one aspect of that. And I think it's an important aspect. You can have an amazing diet. You can be exercising 5 days a week. And if you allow your work to overwhelm you, all those things have been really negated in a sense.
I think you make a very, very valid point. And I assume you're seeing a lot of it because you're out there training these people. You're in their environment where you see them reacting to the overwhelm from the everyday work pace. It seems that technology has gone faster and we as humans are trying to keep up with technology, and yet we're not built for it. We're still not, we have not evolved quickly enough as the technology has. So give us, I mean, you've given us a great example in this one gentleman, but tell us, what are the first things you try to do with people to get them to manage this workday overwhelm?
Well, the first thing I ask people to think about is, what is your mental model about time? You know, we have all kinds of mental models that we use. So, you know, some people, if I said to you, you know, think about what you did yesterday, what you think about, what you thought you did last week. I mean, we can look backwards up to a certain point. I can't tell you what I did when I was 15 because that was 100 years ago, right? So, and I look ahead, I can tell you what's on my plate next week. I can tell you the week after and probably the next couple of months. So we have this time horizon that we look at, right? So the first thing is, when you look at your mental models about time, I ask people to think about who is in charge of your time, you or others.
Interesting. I bet you many people think of that.
No, a lot of people immediately say, "Oh, I have no control over my time," and so I say, "Actually, you do." So that's the first kind of mindset change that you need to make. Who's in charge of your mind or your time? And the second piece is, you can do anything you want to do. You just can't do everything.
That's great. I think people need to hear that again.
Yeah, you can do anything you want to do. You just can't do everything. And actually, Angela, the woman that told me that is at the time was a young woman who was 2 years in a law practice. She's an attorney. And we were talking about her career. And she said, this law firm is exceptional in terms of parental leave. And she said, my boss told me very clearly, you get to decide how much time you want to work if you at some point decide to have a family. He said, just understand. And he said, she got that. She said, I got that from a middle-aged guy who was telling me about my career. He says, and I thought, wow, what an enlightened guy, what an enlightened law firm, what an enlightened young attorney. So that really kind of stuck with me because she had seen a lot of people at the law firm who just burnt the candle at both ends and really had some significant issues. So yeah, that's kind of the first thing, recognizing absolutely you have control of your own time and you get to decide how to use that time. And again, so that's kind of the mental model you start with. And the second piece is, what are the tools now that I believe I'm in charge of my time to help me manage my time? And so very simple model, and this comes from Michael Linenberger, who's written several books. One is called Master Your Workday Now. And the other one is about using Microsoft Outlook, and that's Total Productive Workday. And both books use the same model. And Linenberger's written several other books, but here's the gist of his model. What I ask people to do in class is, you know, take their device or whatever means they use to record tasks. And I say, here are three buckets, three categories I want you to dump those tasks into. The first bucket is, what absolutely positively must be done today, or you don't get to go home. It's so critical. If you have to stay late and work Friday afternoon, it is that important. It's got to be done today. No ifs, ands, or buts. The second bucket is, what are those tasks that you can spread out over the next 5 business days? Because they have to get them done sometime, but it's not critical like today. Put some of your tasks in that second bucket. And the third bucket is, what are the tasks that you would like to get to at some point in the future? And it could be in 3 weeks or it could be in 3 years, but there's absolutely no urgency to do it today. There's absolutely no urgency to do it in the next week, but at some point it's got to get done.
So Marianne, do you find people have difficulty taking things out of that first bucket?
Absolutely. Because so I have to give them some criterion, Angela, and the criterion I give folks is, first of all, would you stay late to do this or would you stay at work late to do it? If the answer is no, it doesn't belong in that bucket.
So people really need to make that evaluation on a very specific criteria rather than everything is important, because I think many people prioritize far too many things.
Right. And
priority means it's at the top.
Absolutely. And so the typical thing that I think a lot of us do, I used to do years ago, is everything is urgent. It must be done today. And then you realize it doesn't have to be done. So then the thing that was urgent on Monday is still on my list on Friday. And then I say, it wasn't that urgent after all, and I ignore it. And then the list builds up to 100 to 200 to 400. And it's really kind of a joke because everything's marked. If everything is urgent, then nothing is urgent.
That's so true, because you cannot have more than maybe one or two urgent things every day. It's impossible to address them.
Right, right. And so how I use this, and I use Outlook for the way that I do it, is I look at my Outlook every day and I say, okay, what are the 3 to 5 critical things I must do today? That's the first thing. And you can have up to 5 things, but you can't have 25. And part of it is, if I have 5 critical tasks that absolutely have to be done Friday, May 18th, and each of those tasks is going to take 2 to 3 hours, then I have a choice. Am I going to work, 15 hours today? The answer is no. And if I have made a commitment to someone and I absolutely cannot get that thing done today, I've called them or emailed them at 8 a.m. this morning and said, I'm so sorry, I'm not going to be able to get this today. I will get it to you Wednesday. So if for whatever reason the planets kind of lined up and a bunch of stuff came in, if I've got previous commitments, I'm not going to leave anybody in the lurch by not saying anything to them and then just not doing it.
So prioritizing also means evaluating its effect, not necessarily just on you and how it's going to either help you get through your day or overwhelm you, but the effect it has on the people that are expecting a product or your responsiveness or whatever it is. So what is the first thing that you tell people with this mental model, how to learn to prioritize it? Now, I know you said, would you stay late? Mm-hmm. Do people still have trouble saying, well, yes, I'm going to stay until it's all done?
Right. So part of that, Angela, is the idea of learn to say no. And so we practice the art of managing expectations. That's a nice way of saying learn to say no. So, I tell folks, if someone comes to you with a task, and first of all, if it's the, it's usually like the hallway. As you see somebody in the hallway and they say, hey, could you do this for me, Angela? I say, first of all, ask them to send you an email.
And why is that important?
Well, because you need to have a documentation. Okay. And sometimes if it's really not that important, because if it was, people would send you the email. A lot of times people end up not sending you the email because it's not that critical to them. But if you use any kind of tracking system such as Outlook, you can take that email and very easily pull it into your task list. Or if you keep a written task list, you can say, okay, I need to do that today. Now I have documentation of what this person wants. But in terms of when people are asked to do things, there's some criteria that you can use. So first of all, do I have time to do this either today or over the next week? If I say yes to everything, then again, I'm going to say no to something, right? And am I the person that should be doing this? So someone could come to me with a task and it might take me literally 3 days to do it. And because of your background, Angela, it might take you 3 hours. I'm probably not the right person. Maybe I'd love to learn it, but really, do I have 3 days to learn it right now? The answer is no. I should say, you know what? Thank you so much for asking me. The person that you need to see about that is Angela, because she is the subject matter expert on that. All right. So again, do I have the time to do this? Am I the right person to do this task? And if the answer to either one of those is no, then you probably should say no. And there are certainly times where somebody might say, but Marianne, I want you to learn how to do this. And if it takes 3 days, it takes 3 days. And at that point, you need to sit down, if that person happens to be your manager, to say, I'm happy to learn this. Here's what I have going in terms of priorities. So this is what I need to get back to people and tell them this is not getting done for the next 3 days. Is that okay with you? So I think part of it is being transparent. First of all, know what you've already made a commitment to, whether you use Outlook or a sheet of paper or a notebook or whatever mechanism you use to record your task and then prioritize them. Have that with you constantly. So as people are coming to you with requests, you can say, let me check and see if I have availability to do that for you, because I don't want to say yes when in fact the reality is I can't. And if I say yes to you, I'm disappointing somebody else, or I might be disappointing you.
Marianne, this is such an important aspect of managing your life overall, of We all get into situations, whether it's work or it's home. I mean, even at home, you have too many things to do. If you've got the dishes to do and the laundry to do and the vacuum, you know, you have to prioritize. Right. And you do naturally. It's not something you have to think about quite as much. But I have found, especially your course, I've found it so important for me to understand it and internalize it and make it real that I've actually taken it twice. I don't know if you realize that I slipped.
Yeah, I do.
But what I'm finding is when you put yourself in a new situation, let's say you're working in the job A, and you apply all these skills towards it. Sometimes if you transfer into job B, somehow you can actually screw up that mental model and say, oh my gosh, how do I do this? So that's one reason why I took it a second time to say, how does it now apply? And I even talked to you about using calendars and all those things. So I think it's really important to realize that even though you think you have certain skills, it's always good to refresh them. Mm-hmm. And sometimes in the course of that refreshing, you get newer things. When you hear it the first time, you may get something great from it. You may start down this practice, but you don't get everything from it. Mm-hmm. And then hearing it the second time through, even for me, the second time through, I got so much more. I'm like, oh, I was already doing this. Now I'm going to add that because I didn't get it the first time. Mm-hmm. So I think it's really important. The element of saying no is really important to emphasize to people because I know in different aspects of life, I do this even with my clients, similar to your quote, somebody said to me, for every time you say yes to something, you're saying no to something else.
Yeah.
And you have to really know that. You do because you cannot possibly say yes to everything.
Yeah. And a couple of things, you know, in terms of how do you make this a habit? How do you take this? So the first thing I ask people to do is when you're going to work first thing in the morning, before you touch any keyboard or before you start, you know, picking up the emails, et cetera, to really review that list and to say, okay, what is on my plate today? What are the things that are critical for today? So that kind of helps you set the day. What are the things I know I can do today, next week, et cetera? And what are the tasks that I'm not going to look at yet because those are way down the road? So you have to develop the habit of start your day knowing what's on your plate because a lot of stuff is going to come in during the day. So
that's if I could add one thing to that, what I tell my clients, because I try to work on them practicing mindfulness. So before they start that task even, I say, get into the framework of mindfulness mm-hmm. where all other distractions are out of the way. You're focusing on this one thing. And then when you do hone in on whatever it is going to take you in different directions. Right. But at least you've gotten rid of all that extraneous stuff. And now you can focus on what is your priority and how to create levels of priorities, move those off of that daily task to your weekly or monthly or future, whatever tasks.
Yeah. And the thing about this, the thing with the kind of, if you use that structure for your time, what's critical today over the next 5 days, you need to make it a habit. So some of the things that we know about habits, make a small change, a tiny change. Kind of part two is put it next to another habit. So if your first thing when you come to work in the morning is you sit down at your desk, you get a cup of your favorite beverage, coffee, tea, whatever, water, whatever it is, and then say, okay, now I've got my beverage. So now I'm going to go through the task of calmly, quietly going through what are the priorities for today. And then we need to practice habits. At least there's some recent research that shows for a new habit to kind of stick up here, it's about 66 days. So if this is something you've never done before, this is something that you'll have to practice deliberately with intention every day. And then eventually it sticks. And I've been using this for many years now. It took kind of the readjustment to get the mental model right, to say, yes, I'm in control of my time. The things that I'm looking at, how much really has to be done absolutely positively today. And it's kind of I think people have described to me in class, I'm going to use the phrase, a tsunami of work, this huge wave that kind of hits them every day. This is what the ADD person is experiencing. And if you have these three kind of ways to prioritize these three buckets, it's a way to smooth out the wave. Not everything is, to your earlier comment, this wave that's going to knock you down every single day.
I think that's an incredible visual of how work does sometimes just overwhelm us, that tsunami. I mean, you can visualize it coming towards you, and you have to find a way to get out from under. Mm-hmm. So from what we've talked about, I'm going to kind of recap it, and please correct me if I've missed anything. It's important for us to prioritize what we need to do for today, what we need to do within the next week, you know, the 5 to 7 days, mm-hmm. and then sometime in the future. And that could be any time in the future.
Right.
Then we need to manage the expectations of not only ourselves, but of others by learning to say no when appropriate.
Right.
And then your big key for me, and I'm telling you, this, like, the world lit up for me when you told me how to master my email. If you could, like, enlighten our listeners, because that is, like, eye-opening for me. I'm like, oh, my God, I can do this. This is really manageable.
Right. So a couple things about email that are important. First of all, unless your job requires you to check email constantly, don't check it. Because you waste on average every time you check an email about 8 or 9 seconds looking at it, reading it, figuring out what to do. So a big thing that will help you is check your email a couple of times in the morning, check it a couple of times in the afternoon, and then just don't check it at that point. I mean, just don't be doing it every 5 minutes, because that becomes so distracting. And when you check it at the very bottom, if you're working in most organizations, they have Outlook Exchange, you can turn off the inbox so it actually stops filling up. You read all the emails, and if there's anything that will take 2 minutes or less, do it, because it's quick. If it's anything that several people are weighing in on, wait till the end of the day, flag it, because in a lot of cases, somebody else has already weighed in. You don't have to weigh in as the 15th person, you know, in the conversation, right? The task, the emails that come with a task, you can pull them down to your task bar and set those up as a task. And probably the biggest thing, I think, is for people to get stuff out of their inbox. So I created a folder called Process Mail. And so anything that I want to keep, I just stick it in Process Mail. Or if you want to set up mail folders, stick that email in the mail folder. So once I've processed a couple of times in the morning, my email, a couple of times in the afternoon, believe it or not, I can empty my inbox, because I've either deleted it because I don't need it. I put it in Process Mail if I want to keep it. I've done it if it took, you know, 2 minutes or less. And if there is something that I need to get back to somebody at some point, or if I have to do a task, I pull it into the task bar. And if I just want to make sure that this thing is resolved, I might flag it to make sure it's done at the end of the day. And then I turn back my inbox. And then before I leave it, it's down to maybe one email that I'm waiting till the end of the day. So if you do that a couple of times in the morning, a couple of times in the afternoon, that's how you can manage your inbox. And people have told me, I've got 4,000 emails in the inbox. And so, you know, that in itself is staggering. But there's something, it's sort of like I would use the analogy, cleaning out your inbox. If you do that, for example, before you go on vacation, you have this feeling like, relief. I can leave. Everything's been taken care of. It's the same type of thing, but we need to do that daily. And periodically take a bunch of those old emails, put them in Process Mail. You haven't lost them, but you're periodically cleaning out your box. Imagine if you had a stack of 400 or 4,000 sheets of paper on your desk. You'd figure out, I got to get rid of this. I got to put it somewhere. I want to hold it, but I don't want it on my desk. So your inbox in that sense is your desk. So why have an inbox cluttered?
So do you find that people who have taken your course come back and say things like, oh my, it's gotten so much easier to manage, or I discovered something new that I hadn't done before, and offer you additional suggestions? Have you found any of those things come true?
Yeah, absolutely. Some people, for example, don't like Outlook, even though we all use Outlook a lot of us do anyway. So some people have said, you know, I put all my assignments or my tasks in Excel. I carry my Excel with me in my pocket, in my purse. That's the first thing somebody talks to me about something. I saw someone who had kind of a combination. She used a whiteboard, and she also had the Outlook printout, which sounds kind of redundant, right? But she was pretty sharp. She said when her manager comes into her office to give her more tasks, she just points to the whiteboard and says, okay, there it is. Let's reprioritize on the whiteboard. And she said some days he's walked in and just said, oh, my God, and just turned around and walked out. Well, you know, that there was extra work, but I guess it paid off, right? because she's...
Well, you got to use what works for you.
Absolutely, positively.
Obviously, she was sending the right message because she was managing his expectations of her. Yeah. That's a very important thing. I think in the work environment where you're primarily dealing with people who you're giving training to, they're in a work environment, but a lot of this can translate very easily to your home environment or to some other aspect of your life. You still need to manage people's expectations. You can't be the one saying yes to everything. You can't be the one that takes on every task as the highest priority, because what happens is it triggers a wave of resentment in addition to just making you feel overwhelmed and frustrated and tired and all those other things. So these easily translate back and forth between the work environment and the home environment.
Absolutely. In fact, people have said to me, should I keep two calendars? Should I keep two lists? And I said, do you really have two lives? No, put it all in one place. Now, I understand some people may be reluctant to keep stuff on a work calendar because they don't want everybody kind of seeing their work or whatever, for whatever reason. But for those folks who can do it in one place, put it in one place. It's a heck of a lot easier. If for whatever reason you can't, then you have those two different calendars and two different task lists.
Full transparency. I was the one that came to Marianne and said, I have three different calendars. How do I manage this?
Yeah, absolutely.
So it is true that once you learn the system of how to make the prioritization of tasks and move forward with that, then the other things start to fall in line because you're not jumping on everything as soon as it happens. Mm-hmm. I know for me, something will come into email and it'll be like a knee-jerk response. Oh, let me go take care of it right now.
Right.
When it could be easily handled some other time when it's less, you know, there's less importance for that task than something else to get done, or that somebody else is already going to handle it because there's four people already CC'd on it and mm-hmm. you know one of them is going to do it. Mm-hmm. So it's the changing your own mental model, like you said, to understanding what's really important, what really needs your attention at the time that it's attracting you, and to sticking with it as a habit.
Absolutely. And I'm just going to borrow this from Stephen Covey. Stephen Covey uses this analogy of having a big glass jar. And he said, and if you want to get your priorities done, he said, those are the equivalent of having big rocks. So you put those rocks in the jar first, and then all the things that come around during the day are little pebbles and sand. He said, the problem is a lot of people are responding to those emails, and that's the sand and the little pebbles. And pretty soon the glass jar gets full, and we're trying to shove the big rocks into it and realizing, oh my gosh, I'll have to stay late, or I know I can't do this because my day has just been consumed here. And that goes to not knowing what my priorities were, what are those big rocks I need to accomplish, and then saying to folks, hey, I'd love to do that for you. I'm so sorry, I don't have the time this week. I can absolutely do it for you next week. And part of it's having noble intent. It's not that you're trying to be mean, nasty, or not a team player. It's having a clear sense of what do I need to accomplish each and every day at home, at work, just in my life.
You know, and I see that. I have clients who have come to me saying, you know, they're overwhelmed. It's part of their frustration. And sometimes dealing with frustration means poor eating habits and all things. So when they wind up with me, there's already this snowball effect of all these things. And when you're trying to piece them apart, and it's fortunate for me, I've had great instructors like you that have taught me other skills that are outside of my direct health and nutrition focus, where I help them also take apart managing the expectations of themselves and others and prioritizing tasks. And it really does make your life as a whole better. It's not just, oh, it makes work better. It makes your life as a whole better because you're able to do this in all aspects of your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's working with a coach like yourself to have that, you know, what's the plan? What's the path? Could you give me some structure? And then you and your clients being holding them accountable, have you made these changes? So again, whether it's managing your time, whether it's your diet, what's a small change you can make? Why do you want to make it? How will your life be better? And so what might be some tools to help you do that?
Yes, I agree with you. I agree. So are there any other like little tips you can give people? Like what's one thing they can do today that's going to really start down the path of making a habit, stick with it, that they can build on these other things, that they can learn to do the prioritization, to do, you know, the whole getting things in order in the right order for them? What's something they could start with small today, one of those small habits?
So a couple of things I would say, just pull up a sheet of paper out for Monday. It's Friday afternoon, let's say, and say to yourself, okay, so what do I absolutely have to do Monday, or I don't get to go home, or I don't get to go to bed, right? What are the things I could really smooth out and do over the next 5 days, Monday through Friday next week? And what are the things on my list right now that I could probably put out for 2, 3, a month, whatever? So that's one thing. I think the second thing I'd recommend people do is go to the michaellinenberger.com site, and Angela, I can send that link to you. Michael Linenberger has tons, and I mean tons, of free guides on how to use this model. And he also has a free download, so I would definitely suggest that as well. So anyway, there are lots of tools out there in that space. And again, it's just the idea of deciding. And another, I guess a third one could be stop checking your emails constantly. If you do nothing but that, you're probably going to save about, and this is hard to believe, 8 hours a week by not constantly checking your email. That little 8-second delay of, oh, I'm doing something, ding, that adds up over a week to about 8 hours.
That's a surprising number. I would not have thought that much, but wow.
Yeah. So stop checking those emails all the time.
Well, this has been great advice, and I am so glad I had you on, because I truly believe all aspects of our life have to be in alignment with how we need to live in order to have an optimal health and wellness. And so, Marianne, if people want to get in touch with you, how can they do that?
Just shoot me an email at Marianne, M-A-R-Y, capital A-N-N, at Vibrant, V-I-B-R-A-N-T, capital T-R-A-I-N-G, capital G-R-O-U-P.com. So it's Marianne at vibranttraininggroup.com.
I'll include that below the podcast also so they can get in touch with you.
Great. Thanks, Angela.
I want to thank you so much, Marianne. I'm looking forward to the next time I get to sit in on one of your classes.
You and me both.
I always look forward to it. We have such a great time. You offer great suggestions, and you have provided me with tremendous amounts of even just the little tidbits sometimes you come across in class. We'll just be talking and I'll make great notes and I'm like, I'm going to use that. And I always manage to find some place to apply them. So I'm very fortunate to have the opportunity to work with you in the past, and I look forward to it again in the future.
Thank you very much, Angela. You made my day. Thanks for the feedback.
I want to thank everybody for joining us today on another episode of Nutrition Prescription. Stop by and see me at yourhealthunbound.com. Until next time, everyone, have a great day.
Thanks so much for listening to Nutrition Prescription with your host, Angela Atkins. Find her online at yourhealthunbound.com, Twitter at Angela C. Atkins, and Facebook.com/AngelaAtkinsHNCoach. We'll see you next time.